a welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are here together in the 15th week of Pentecost as we study and learn and journey together. And together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other in this gathered community. As we prepare for worship, we invite you all to stand if you are able, knowing that if you are unable to stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who greets us in this and every season, whose word never fails, whose promise is sure.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of our neighbor. Merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
Righteous One,
we confess that we have sinned. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
God is a cup of cold water when we thirst. God offers boundless grace when we fail. Claim this gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we gather at your table, as we live.
pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without
your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us toward all that is life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now it's at this time we ask our children to come forward for a children's sermon, and we only have one in our audience, so we're not going to ask her to come forward because that would just be a little awkward. So we are just going to assume all of us here are children, and so I have some questions for us. So those who know me by now, you know that I like a little bit of magic, right? A little bit. Like the magic shows, I like trying to do it, and it's a fascinating thing to me. So let's talk about a little bit about magic right now. Specifically, magic words. You can't have a magic trick without magic words. What are a few magic words that you know of?
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra, there's one. What else?
Shazam.
Presto, yeah, what?
Please. Please.
Did I hear please?
Yes.
Ooh. Good point. We're going to go to there. We have some magic words that make the excitement happen, right? And Jesus is talking to his disciples today about what happens when you have a conflict or someone has done you wrong in the church. Do we have some magic words when we do something wrong?
Sorry.
Yeah. We say, please, I'm sorry. And what else might we say?
I forgive you.
Please, forgive me. And that is the magic words that might bring reconciliation to our grief. So it's like this rubber band, right? Have a rubber band and it represents our community. But what happens when this rubber band gets pulled too tight?
Snap.
So if we pull this too tight, what's going to happen?
It
breaks. And we've severed our community. But if we come together with those magic words and we work to wholeness of that community, what will happen? What is broken? What is broken becomes whole.
Wow. Ooh.
And so that is what Jesus is teaching us today. How to be whole. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together, and then you'll repeat after me. One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that we have family.
Thank you.
Thank you for forgiveness.
Thank you for forgiveness.
Amen.
Of men to live with him. To just insert a very personal message. As many of you know, sorry there, is that better? As many of you know, I have recently boarded the chemo train, as they say, my friend likes to say. And so I just want you to know it isn't a huge change in my personality, but you will see I am no longer a hugger. Close conversationalist. I will be trying very hard to do what my doctor suggests and go back to the old, we beloved COVID restrictions of distancing and masking. And so I'm telling you all so that I don't have to make this same little speech to everybody I meet this morning. And I want you to know that I love you all. I have a very supportive family, but you are part of it. And I choose to remain part of this congregation and attend church as often as I can. I'm not going to give up church and stay home and say, I'm immunocompromised. I'm just not. I can't. Church is a part of me. You are part of me. And I thank you all for your prayers and let you know that they are working. I promise you they are working. So with that, we will begin the lessons this morning. The first lesson for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel. We don't read Ezekiel very often, so this is very interesting. From Ezekiel 33, now hear the word. So you mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The
psalm this morning is from that wonderful long psalm, Psalm 119. And as I read this over before church this morning, I realize that this psalm is just full of little gem paragraphs throughout. So I'm challenging myself today, and I ask you to join if you'd like to. This is a very long psalm. There are only 176 verses. So that's, but we'll take just one precious little part this morning, beginning at verse 33, and please read responsively with me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teachings. I shall keep it with all my heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire.
Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to what just came.
Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way.
Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good.
Behold, I long for your commandments. By your righteousness, enlighten me.
The second reading this morning from the book of Romans, chapter 13. Hear now the word. Owe no one anything except to love one another. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three. If that member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything, and you ask it, it will be done for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there amongst them. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God for us.
Sermon today is about conflict. Conflict, conflict, and conflict. It sounds like it's ripped right out of the newspaper or our daily lives. We are surrounded by conflict. So the question today is not if we will have conflict, but when we will have it. And a quick disclaimer, because I have to have this disclaimer. There's a history of abuse of this text within the church, within church history, and so I have to make a disclaimer. We are not talking today about a situation of violence or abuse where there is a victim who is a victim of, as I said, abuse. We know in that situation, it's not the victim's responsibility to go to the accuser, the one abusing them, and seek redress. This passage has been used at times to clobber the victim, and so we need to be clear that is not what we're talking about today. Any attempt to create this passage or the saying of Jesus to address a victim in a case of abuse is a misreading of the text. So let that be clear. Let everything else I say be understood in that context, or it will be taken out of context. The question then is, what do we do when conflict comes? And more importantly, what is the goal of resolving that conflict? Because again, we have a misunderstanding and a way of misreading this text. If you have a Bible at home that has those chapter titles, and of course we all know those chapter titles were added much later, maybe even 20 years ago. They're not very old, they're not authoritative, but if you were to open this passage and you had a chapter title, your chapter title might say church discipline. In other words, just like if I were an HR manager, when I hear the word discipline, I think what? How to get rid of a problem. And so we can read these words of Jesus today as the steps to get rid of someone we don't like. That is not what Jesus is saying. I had a very passionate discussion with some pastors around this text this week. And of course, you all know my previous career was filled with conflict. But it might surprise you to know that most of the conflict that I encountered, especially once I became a manager, was not between staff and the incarcerated. It was dealing with conflict between staff and staff. And those conflicts resolved like 90% of my day, trying to keep two adults who are acting like teenagers act like adults. And so I got very acquainted with our HR department. And our HR department was very helpful. And I can't help but read Jesus' words today like they came straight out of the HR manual. And this is where my passionate conversation with some other pastors this week came into play, because they told me that HR is there to fire people. And I said, no, that's not in any way, shape, or form how I've encountered my HR department. Because as you can imagine,
or maybe you don't know, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you, from the point of an application to the point where a police officer or a correctional officer actually has their first day on the job is at least a year. And it costs somewhere like $100,000 to put that person from the application stage to that first day on the job stage. So you've already invested a year of your time, $100,000 of the taxpayer's money to put this guy on the job for one day, to have him run into a supervisor who doesn't like him, and then day two, that supervisor is recommending termination. Right? This happens all the time. And so my experience is at that point, HR stomps on that brakes and says, wait a second, no way, no how. You need to come up with some kind of corrective action plan to address this person's behavior. Maybe they don't know, maybe they don't have great expectations, but you as a supervisor need to come up with why they're struggling, a solution to how to solve that solution, and then try and work through this process. And then and only then, of course, after time to try and work with an employee who is just not going to get it by their choice, but any extreme measures be taken, such as termination. But again, this comes back to what is the purpose of addressing conflict. And it's clear in Jesus' words today that conflict is addressed for one purpose and one purpose alone: restoration and healing. Like that broken rubber band, we're trying to create a wholeness amongst our community. And so I'm going to do another thing quite uncommon, but I don't normally do. It's very a passionate text for me, so I'm going to get a little preachy. So forgive me, and I'm hoping I'm preaching to the choir. Because conflict is all around us, and in this very polarized world we live in, where we have two sides demanding ultimate allegiance to everything we do, it becomes very hard for us to mitigate all these extremes. And so I'm going to offer you what I think Jesus is saying in modern terms. Number one, assume positive intent. Everything in our society now tells us to assume negative intent. So when someone says something to you, emails something to you, does something or doesn't do something, when someone that you don't agree with politically does something, we immediately assume there's negative intent on that person. We assume they're there to bash them. And so then what is our response? Let me bash them back. And Jesus is calling us to look deeper. So I ask you, I implore you, the next time you have this encounter, whether it's a minute from now, an hour from now, who knows down the road, try to assume positive intent. Assume that that person is, with the goodness of their heart, trying to do something productive. Now, we don't have to end on positive intent, people. We can ask questions, we can have a dialogue, we can look into the issues. And at the end of the day, we might decide that person has negative intent. But we don't have to begin there, do we? We can begin with a desire for a conversation. We can begin to assume just for a moment, that initial moment, that that person has a good heart. And then we can look at the issue and open a conversation. And this leads to the second thing I want to say, is we address behaviors, not individuals. And so if we assume positive intent and we engage in a conversation, we can come to the root of the problem, and the root of the problem is probably a behavior. You and I have no idea what is in a person's heart. But we can address a behavior. And so I would have this
sergeant come to me and say, I want to terminate this employee because they're undependable. They're lazy, they're undependable, I can't trust them. Now there's a lot to go on that, right? There are a lot of assumptions based on that. And ask them why. Well, that individual is always late for work. That's a behavior. How do we get from a behavior all the way down to who this core of this person is, that they are undependable and lazy? There's a lack of understanding. So why don't we take a step back, figure out why they're late? Maybe they're late because they've grown up in a household that was always late. Some households do not work off the time the way other households do. Maybe there's education. There's some goal setting, some expectations. Let's get to the root reason why this person is late. And it may or may not have anything to do with their dependability. And so I implore us all, in the world we live in today, to take two steps to try and resolve this situation. One is to assume positive intent. And again, we don't have to end on positive intent, but let's start there. Then two, let's address behaviors in our community, in our world, and stop focusing on individuals. And all of that leads to this, what Jesus is saying at the end of our text. If you do all these steps, and there's still not a change, Jesus says, treat that person as a tax collector and a sinner. And that might seem harsh, right? But what does Jesus do to tax collectors and sinners? He eats with them. He invites them to table. He tells them that God is for them and with them and here to heal the community. The goal, as I said, is wholeness and healing. The goal of the church is to invite those people back to this table, back so we can eat together, back to where we can be a community together. My friends, this table represents to us our Savior who came into this world for us, who suffered and died for us, left the comforts of heaven to destroy the power of sin and death. And there on that cross, he prayed, O God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus there is assuming positive intent, forgiving the individual while condemning the sin. And all of that too, so that he may rise again and invite us to this table where we learn that we are all connected and restored back to God. And if we are all restored back to God, then by extension, we are restored, all of us, back to God. That means we are connected to each other. And these communities are connected. And we cannot be whole without all of us being whole. My friends, let us come to this table and know that a new creation has dawned in Christ. A new creation beckoning us forward into a world of love that seeks to embrace and bring healing and wholeness to the world, not separation and division. Amen.
Amen.
Remembering the caring and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. Hold us accountable, O God. Show your church where repentance is needed, and lead us in paths of intentional compassion and listening. Help us extend hands of reconciliation and care, especially in relationships with other Christians and people of other faiths. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Reveal your miracles to us, O God. Move us to cherish you as we behold the wonders of creation. Renew the seas and the soil, the forests and the creatures that live in them. Turn us to ways of living that seek earth's thriving. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Inspire us to lead with honor, O God. Guide judges and legislators, police and government officials to create and uphold just laws. Move us to treat all people with dignity and guide our conversations with one another. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Help us comfort those who suffer, O God. Reassure any who are harmed by the wicked acts of others. Bring peace to all who are vulnerable, frightened, despairing, or sick. Especially this morning, we pray for Aaron, for Kevin, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, David, Fran, Meredith, Marcia, Paul, the family of Ara Haddock, victims of the war in Ukraine, the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, people of Furlong Lutheran Church in Lebanon, and St. Timothy Church, flooding in Vermont, fires in Maui. Guide their waking and their sleeping, merciful God. Receive our prayer. Awaken us, O God. Challenge and encourage your people to value the vocation to which each of us is called. We pray for all discerning new possibilities or changing employment in all our diverse callings. Teach us to love our neighbor above all else. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Be our hope, O God. We remember with thanksgiving your disciples who died in faith. May their trust in your promise be our protection and our hope. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Thank you.
prepare for our meal. Make us a sign of your faithfulness. Send us to tend and cherish the earth, and to serve the world with mercy and love. With all the saints in light, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God. In Christ Jesus, in your spirit now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered to one, let us pray as our Lord comes.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is.
forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all are welcome to come forward and receive at this table. In a moment, the usher will come and you'll ask for a single file from this side and from this side. We ask that you come forward with your hand extended if you wish to receive the element in your hand, and then come to the station of the wine and to reach in. Pick either the red liquid, which is wine, or the clear liquid, which is grape juice. But know that these are for all people, and all are welcome here. If you wish to come and only receive a blessing, come with your arms crossed, but know again that this is for all, and all are welcome here. Amen.
By the Spirit.
our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, O generous God, for the refreshment we have received at your table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now we pause for any announcements for the good of the community and on the back of the microphone if there are any announcements to be raised your hand. I don't see any. I have one. Spoke too soon.
Just a reminder, but we have choir today at 11:45 for those who are interested. Thank you.
So a big week coming up for us at the church. So next Sunday is going to be rally day for us, a time to send our students back to school with blessing and prayer. If you are a student, we invite you to bring a backpack next week, and we'll have all the students come forward, and we will say some blessings for them, and that will kick off our Sunday school season, which will be the first and third Sunday of the month. So come with some excitement for that, and just for the benefit of it. You're going to have Ruger floats after service. So come for the blessing, stay with the Ruger floats.
Yeah.
Also next week, we'll signify a change in our liturgy. We'll be changing a few things up, returning to old practices, and we will begin with our communion rail and the options of kneeling or standing. Our pre-COVID protocols will be returned. So more to follow on that. Just know that big changes or little changes are coming to our community to help us deepen our experience and our walk with God and the encounter of the divine. That being said, let us prepare for our benediction. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest sea, bless, keep, and sustain you now and until the end of the age.
Amen.
Amen.